Well, this morning we've seen a number of people receive baptism. And baptism is a dramatization of certain historical events, specifically the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the Messiah. Now, these events are the high points of the gospel. Baptism then takes these awesome events and it personalizes them. Through this act, those who are baptized, they identify themselves with Jesus Christ in his saving work. Jesus died and rose again, and through this rite, through this descent into the water and then being raised back up out of it, they too have been symbolically buried and raised. Through baptism, we personally and publicly associate ourselves with Jesus, the one who died and rose again on our behalf and for our sins. Now, what I would like us to concentrate on for just a few moments this morning is the baptism of Jesus. I hope to show that Jesus, through his baptism, identified himself with us. Please turn to Matthew chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, there's always one in each pew that you can grab and use. Matthew chapter 3. Now begin at verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your grace so evidently shown this morning in the testimonies of all these people. We thank you that they were able to come up here and to speak before this crowd and to be able to give glory and honor to your name for the saving of sinners. Thank you, God, for being so gracious and so merciful with us. Father, I want to ask, as we look at this chapter of Scripture, as we look at one part of it, that you would teach us by your Spirit. Please enlighten our minds. Cut away the darkness that is in our thinking, and instead allow us to see the Scriptures rightly. Father, please teach us and make us more like your Son today. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, in our passage, Jesus comes to the Jordan to be baptized by John. And it's interesting, I think, that John reacts to this request rather than just going through with the ceremony. We're told that John tried to prevent Jesus from being baptized by reversing the situation. John wanted Jesus to baptize him. Now, why would John have this reaction? Well, we know that John recognized that Jesus was greater than he was. John understood that he was the one who was preparing the way for the coming king. And this was a gesture that, in John's mind, would have spoken of the authority and the position of Jesus. But there's another issue that we really need to deal with here. The New Testament consistently presents Jesus to us as sinless. He didn't have sin as a part of his nature. He didn't have any inner evil inclination. He was safeguarded from this defilement by the work of the Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He always obeyed in everything that he did. He never went against the will of God in anything that he did, anything that he thought, anything that he said. Listen to the testimony of Scripture on this point. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:14-15. And then this one from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. So the question is, why would Jesus come to be baptized by John? John's baptism was about repentance. It was about turning away from sin. It was about forgiveness. If Jesus never committed any sin, then he had no need to repent. The people who came to be baptized by John, they would go into the water and then they would confess their sins. What would Jesus have to say when he went into the water? So, if he wasn't repenting or seeking forgiveness, then what exactly was he doing in the water? What was accomplished by this baptism? I'd like you to consider these three points. One, Jesus said this, "Let it be so now, for it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." You see, this baptism was an important part of his active obedience to the Father. It was one part of how he always did the Father's will. In that sense, in that it trained him to the Father's desire in detail, this baptism prepared him for his greatest act of obedience, death on a cross. Two, this baptism is an endorsement of John's ministry. Jesus, by submitting to John's baptism, put his stamp of approval on John's movement. Through his participation, he shows that he supports what John's doing out there in the wilderness. He agrees that people need to repent and get ready for the coming kingdom of God. And then third, by submitting to John's baptism, Jesus became a part of a group. In those days, they would have identified John's movement as a sect within Judaism. Israel was full of groups and then groups within groups. There were Pharisees and Sadducees, and there were the Essenes who lived out at Qumran. Within the Pharisee party, there were two distinct groups. And there were other groups as well that I'm not going to mention this morning. All of these different groups claimed that they were the ones who were truly, they were the ones who were really faithful to God. Jesus, through his baptism, joined with one specific group. Now, the amazing thing is that the group that he decided to join were those who were confessed sinners. Take that in for a second. He decides to join with a group of people who come out and say, "I am a sinner, here's how I've done it." At the very beginning of his public ministry, he identifies himself not with the righteous, but with the sinners that he came to save. And this pattern of associating with sinners continued throughout his ministry, especially as he eats and drinks with tax collectors and with prostitutes. And this theme will finally come to a climax when he'll be counted among the transgressors at the cross. Again, this baptism prepared him for his death. Here's how Reichen put it. But why did Jesus even need to be baptized? This is a real puzzle. It hardly seems appropriate. John was baptizing repentance for the forgiveness of sins. However, Jesus was no sinner, and therefore he needed neither to repent nor to be forgiven. So why was he baptized? The baptism of Jesus was different from all others. Somehow, his baptism fell into a different category. The difference was that Jesus did not have to be baptized for his own sins. Rather, he was identifying with sinners in their need of forgiveness. This was an act of solidarity. Jesus was taking the place of sinners. So already at the beginning of his public ministry, we are reminded of the ancient prophecy that he would be numbered among the transgressors, Isaiah 53:12. If we are amazed to see him baptized, we are all the more amazed to see him crucified. The choice that Jesus made at his baptism was the choice that ultimately led him to the cross. He was willing to be reckoned as a sinner so that sinners could be saved. And so he was baptized. End quote. Let us rejoice today that so many people have joined our church, but let us also rejoice in the truth that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was willing to identify himself with sinners like us, to come into this world, to dwell among us, and to die for our sins, for our transgressions. Let's also rejoice that the same Jesus was raised up from the dead, that he defeated sin and death, and now he grants the forgiveness of sins and eternal life to all who will trust him and who will turn away from their sins. Praise God. Amen. Steve.